It is the JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you so much to everybody tuned in and locked in all over North America. People listening on the free Odyssey app, people locked in on their local Infinity Sports Network affiliate, Sirius XM channel 158 if you got Sirius, and a smart speaker where all you have to do is ask the speaker to play the Infinity Sports Network. I'm going to be hanging out with you for the next 3 hours. It's a four-hour show, though. I get started every single weekday at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I might be in Atlanta. Super producer and host Ryan Hickey, he's holding it down for us in New York City. And we've had a busy day in the world of sports, right? We've had football get underway in college. Got contracts given out in the NFL, the CeeDee Lamb. Contracts that still haven't been given out. Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams, Ja'Marr Chase. And then, damn it, we got more football at the end of the week. College season is getting lit up. I mean, I can't wait for Thursday. Deion Sanders and the Buffaloes, North Dakota State. There's just a lot. It's the most wonderful time of the year. That's not the holidays. Anyway, if you want to call me up, it's simple. The phone number here is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. You can also find me online. I am everywhere. I am at JR Sport Brief. And we've already had a fun first hour of the show. If you missed any of it, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. We talked about CeeDee Lamb. His new contract with the Dallas Cowboys, 4 years, $136 million. Now the Dallas Cowboys, they better figure out something with Dak. Like, why drag this out into an entire season? Just a complete waste of energy and just a massive distraction. Just go out there and get it done. Speaking of another wide receiver on the opposite end of the spectrum, we talked about Juju Smith-Schuster. This man is back with the Kansas City Chiefs. That's the last time he had a good year. I mean, damn it, he stunk this past season with the Patriots. But I guess anybody would stink with the Patriots. We'll talk about them in a second. Trent Williams might actually sit out a game, the opening game against the New York Jets, in order to get himself a new contract. No resolution when it comes down to Brandon Ayuk. And then we talked about a game that did take place over the weekend on the college side. And Florida State losing to Georgia Tech with a field goal. Absolutely hilarious. Unless you live in Tallahassee or you happen to be a fan of the Seminoles. But they got more games and they can still win the ACC. Not looking all that likely, but they can still do it. Anyway, we have so much more to get into. I told you I'm going to get into the Patriots in a second. This is a team that's trying to figure out what the hell is going on at the quarterback position. The Steelers are pretty much in the same boat. Well, how about this? Here in the studio, I see the Yankees are down in D.C. Everybody just waiting on Aaron Judge to hit another home run. We'll keep you up to date on that. Deion Sanders is upset with the media. What else is new? And then how about this? We got an Arizona Cardinal who's going to join us next hour. Kelvin Beachum is going to come through. I'm going to ask him about Kyler Murray. He's also an SMU grad. I want to ask him about the Mustangs. Gave everybody a heart attack in their victory, you know, over the weekend. So we got a busy show to continue on with. Let me just get the Patriots out the way, okay? The Patriots and the Steelers. Two teams that on, let me look again, August 26th, have not made any grand proclamations as to what's going to take place with their quarterbacks, which lets you know out of the gate that these two teams are going to suck. Okay, the Pittsburgh Steelers are not hoisting no Vince Lombardi. They'll probably barely make it to the postseason if they do. If they end up there, they're going to get smacked out. I don't expect it. Mike Tomlin winning season for another nothing, okay, until he figures out the quarterback. But what's with the charade here when it comes down to the Steelers? What's with the charade? Russell Wilson is going to get the start until he stinks, until he gets hurt, until he holds on to the ball for so damn long that Mike Tomlin just wants to pull whatever hair he has left, none, out of his head. Russell Wilson is the old sage in this equation. Russell Wilson is the Super Bowl winning quarterback. He is the Super Bowl throwing interception guy. Like, we've seen all of this. He was someone before he started to stink over the past few years. He was on a Hall of Fame track. Justin Fields, all things considered, is still trying to put things together. Is it that much rocket science? Has Russell Wilson been that bad? I mean, Mike Tomlin told us months ago that Russell Wilson was going to have pole position when it came down to who was going to be the starter. So there's no shock, but why do you need to wait? Like, what are we waiting on? I mean, just last weekend, over the weekend, the Steelers lost to the Lions. Boo-hoo, who cares? Preseason, right? Russell Wilson played 5 snaps. Justin Fields came on and led a scoring drive, and then he sat down. And then after the fact, Mike Tomlin, he was asked, man, what you waiting for? When are we going to find out who's going to be the starting quarterback? And this is Mike Tomlin's response.
We'll make a decision at the end of our work week, this upcoming week. We got 3 days of Steelers versus Steelers work, and why not do it then? It kind of, you know, minimizes the Steelers versus Steelers work when we start making decisions prior to the completion of that.
What's everybody missing between now and this week? We all know the results. It's going to be Wilson. It's not going to be Fields. What are we waiting on? The Steelers open up their season here in Atlanta, Georgia, where I expect the Falcons and their fans to be over the moon about what's going to take place here in Atlanta, the debut of Kirk Cousins. And like the Falcons, they should win this game. They should. And so what the Steelers are waiting on, I have no idea. Is it really that close in practice? Does Mike Tomlin have to put out the flame and the fire of a Justin Fields mutiny? I don't think so. I think you got to go with the guy who has the experience. You got to go with the more proven commodity, and that's Russell Wilson. We don't need the smoke and the mirrors and the charades. And I know Justin Fields last week said he feels that he's, you know, shown enough and shown what he can do. There's no way in hell you would have been able to show longer or have a bigger, longer resume than Russell Wilson. That's just what it is. And for whatever Russell Wilson has left in the tank, you got to give that man a chance. You got to give that dude an opportunity to show it and then yank him. And I hope they do it sooner than later, because I cannot take every single week a Russell Wilson motivational speech. Hick, you think Mike Tomlin is sick of that already?
That's one I don't know. Because either I think he's on the either side of the spectrum. Either he is all in because he's also a motivational guy himself, right, or because he's basically hearing the same crap he regurgitates, he gets sick of it fast, and it gets old already very quickly. I can't get a read on how he feels about him.
Listen, if it's a week one loss and he has to hear it, it's like, okay, all right. If it's week two and it's a loss, then it's like, okay, all right. Once you start getting into the third loss and the fourth loss, nobody, even Mike Tomlin, doesn't want to hear that. But pull the plug. And at that point, I say put Justin Fields out there, because what do you have to lose? I just can't wait to see, because I think this is inevitable. There's going to come a point in time where Russell Wilson gets benched, even if it's for a series or a couple of plays. He's going to get benched, and the look on his face as Justin Fields runs out onto that field, it's going to be absolutely hilarious. It is. And the less Russell Wilson has a chance to give us a motivational speech after the game, the better. The Steelers, I got them just missing out on the postseason. Mike Tomlin, a positive record. And not making the playoffs. And good luck. You got 17 games to figure out the QB. And if it takes you this week to do it, just who's going to start week one? Y'all are already lost. Anyway, that's not the only team. Now, this squad, for sure, hot, garbage. Trash. It's the New England Patriots. They selected Drake May 4th overall. Jacoby Brissett is basically a sacrificial lamb. Just so Drake May can stand on the sidelines and just say, oh, that's what I don't want to happen to me. That's why I need to get rid of the football. Oh, this is why I was selected at number 4 overall. And Gerard Mayo, the new head coach of the New England Patriots, the man who, by the way, said Bill Belichick, he didn't leave me any keys, any manuals, any instructions. Gerard Mayo was on WEEI up in Boston, and he actually said that Drake May, the rookie, he has outplayed Jacoby Brissett.
Let's talk about the injury first. I don't know. Jacoby may come in here today. We got in at 4 o'clock in the morning. May come in today saying, you know, his shoulder is no good. Or, you know, so I'm not going to get too far down the road on if Jacoby could play or couldn't play. What I will say is that this is a true competition. It wasn't fluff or anything like that. It's a true competition. And I would say at this current point, you know, Drake has outplayed Jacoby. Now, in saying that, we have to take in the full body of work, you know, going all the way back to the spring and the beginning of the training camp, and we'll see where we end up. But those are the conversations that will happen here over the next couple of days.
Irrelevant. And these are the fun things that the coaches can't say publicly. They can't. You don't want Drake May being destroyed right out of the gate. And Gerard Mayo has said this in other mediums. He has seen quarterbacks come into the NFL, get smashed and get destroyed, confidence shattered, body shattered, and they don't recover. There is nothing, absolutely nothing, coming out of this season with the New England Patriots. The whole idea is to go out there and develop Drake May. That's it. There's nothing else to this season. You want Gerard Mayo to develop. You want everybody on the team in every capacity to develop. This year isn't so much about wins and losses and winning here. It ain't no Super Bowl. Ain't no Lombardi going back to New England. It's just, what does Drake May have? Do you need to throw this guy out to the wolves for 17 games, or do you want to give him every experience possible, including the one where he starts the season on the sidelines watching what a disaster this is going to be? I think it's worthwhile for him to see it as opposed to participate and get his ass kicked right out of the gate. Look, everybody doesn't get lucky with Tom Brady for 20-plus years. I think the New England Patriots, well, they're figuring it out. It's a hard fall down to the bottom. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Casey is calling from Knoxville. You're on the JR Sport Re-Show on the Infinity Sports Network. What's up, Casey?
What's going on, baby? How you doing?
I'm excellent. What's on your mind?
I'm going to tell you, being a long-term Steelers fan, Justin Fields will be playing in Atlanta. They'll play at least 80% of the plays. I don't know how they're going to do it. But look at his stats versus Atlanta last year when they played. And he's a hometown guy. He'll come in and show out next year. This coming, a week or so from now.
Do you think Russell Wilson is going to get buried in the first game out the gate, huh?
I believe that, yes. Okay. He'll come in and show out in front of his hometown fans, Justin Fields will. He's from Atlanta.
I'm in Atlanta. I'm very familiar with that and his family and everybody who plays here. He's from down in Kennesaw, which is right down the road. I got to tell you, Casey, I don't think the fans here give a damn what he comes in and does. I mean, we are so far gone. And thank you, Casey, for calling from Knoxville. We are so far gone in regards to Atlanta Falcon fans looking for a QB. Like, that ship has sailed. To go from Matt Ryan and then think that, oh, my God, well, we can bring Justin Fields home. And there were fans who wanted that. There were fans who were just like, oh, you're going to have a chance to get Watson? Okay, yeah, sure, fine. He's got this sexual assault stories with the massage therapist. People are like, all right, whatever. That's been put to rest. You know, if you're throwing 60-plus thousand people in the dome in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, people want to see the Falcons win, man. Ain't nobody rolling out no red carpet to see Justin Fields. And I gotta be honest now, okay? Even if Justin Fields was the starting quarterback, this even here in Atlanta, there would not be the stability. There would not be the stability that they would have with a 36-year-old Kirk Cousins who's coming off of a blown-out Achilles. 80% of the snaps? Russell Wilson will have to have his ass beat down. He will have to be driven in the dirt by the newest Falcon, Matthew Judon. Grady Jarrett will have to sit on him. Mike Tomlin will have to be upset at the turnovers before he says, hey, Justin, 80% of the, like, what's 80% of the snaps? Maybe in fantasy land. Now, we'll also tell you this. Arthur Smith is the new offensive coordinator for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He just got the boot from the Falcons. He got the boot. The Falcons bring in Raheem Morris, bring him out from the West Coast with the Rams to take over the team. And Arthur Smith had to go from being a head coach in the NFL back to being an offensive coordinator. You don't think that Arthur Smith wants to show him something? Now, is that going to be Justin Fields for a play or two or to scare the living hell out of everybody? Maybe. But I think the best case scenario is you use Justin Fields in a couple of packages, but I'd be surprised if it was 80% of the snaps. Hickey, what do you think about what Casey said from Knoxville?
Surprised. I'd be shocked. There's no way that can happen for a few reasons. Like you said, outside of injury, let's just take that out for a second. I'm assuming, like, the Steelers, if you want one of these guys to actually play their best, and clearly right now it doesn't seem like either are separating since we're still, with no preseason games left, still having a competition, the best way for one of these guys to settle in and try to have their best game possible is by getting in the flow of the game. And whether it's Russ starting, then Fields playing majority, or vice versa, Fields starting, Russ coming in, however you want to break down the 80-20%, you are not allowing either quarterback in that scenario to get in some sort of rhythm, to play a full quarter, play a full half, get a feel of the offense, get a feel of the game, and actually feel comfortable when you're constantly switching in and out. This guy's in for this drive, you're in for the next drive. There's no continuity. There's no comfortability. It would, I think, just be a detriment to both quarterbacks and the offense.
Yeah, you have to. Just by seniority, and because he's not completely cooked yet, you got to give Russell Wilson a chance to go out there and blow it. And then Fields, hey, it's your time to shine. You talked about how everybody knows and we've seen what you can do, then go out there and do it. It had nothing to do with a hometown crowd. It has nothing to do with any of it. Just by experience, Russell Wilson's going to get the first opportunity to fail. And I think everybody in the locker room up in Pittsburgh, I think everybody understands that. If he don't get the job done, Justin Fields is right behind you. He's going to play. He's going to get his packages in. He's going to get his snaps. He's going to play. But what type of impact is he going to have? Well, it may not come until the middle of the season or the end, or if there's an injury. We'll see. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. One thing is for sure, and this is definitely certain, Patriots are going to stink. Throw Jacoby Brissett. Hickey, Brissett already has a busted up shoulder. It's preseason. This might be the reason why we see Drake May earlier than not.
Good luck. That offensive line last night alone showed you. If you're going to put him back there, put him in bubble wrap. Extra.
Man, yeah. It's going to be ugly for the Patriots. Hey, welcome to the world. Y'all have had enough positive years. More years of ass for you. Now, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. We're going to take a break. When we come back on the other side, oh, this guy, he's actually good. Both of these guys are actually good. One of these guys is a super, what the hell is he? And look, Hickey, do you see Judge's back? You see that guy? Do you see him in a, you see it in, you got him on the studio?
I do not know.
Oh my goodness. This guy, is he a baseball player or does he, oh man.
Like anyway. God?
Yeah. This guy's back is crazy. I've never looked at anybody's back like that. Last time I saw a back like that was on Vladimir Klitschko. That's another story.
Wow.
I'm going to tell you about Aaron Judge's back, his home runs, Shohei Ohtani, and a Klitschko on the other side. Who would have thought you'd have heard about a Klitschko today, but you did. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Yeah, I guess friends being friends is nice. I guess. Anyway, 855-212-4227. This, now I want to be friends with this guy. Aaron Judge. Man is making $40 million a year. That's the type of friend I want. Hickey, no disrespect, but that's the type of friend I want.
You don't want me as your friend?
If I had you a Judge, I'd take Judge.
Damn. Well, you know, I respect the honesty, at least. So I'll give you that.
This guy is just, Hickey, he's at the plate right now. He's not going to hit a home run, right? Every time I see him, I'm expecting a home run. Hit him, hit him, hit the guy, hit him. Yeah, this guy, he threw the ball high.
They're pitching to him.
What is it? How? The man hit two home runs yesterday. How? Why are they not throwing the, you throw the ball in the dirt or you throw it at him? This, like the guy just, he forked the ball in front of the plate.
There you go. You called that when he bounced it.
He did. 86 miles per hour into the dirt. Even Aaron Judge, he looked up and laughed like, what is this? If you throw the ball anywhere near the plate, he's sending it into outer space.
Give him the Barry Bonds treatment. I mean, you're in the third inning. There's nobody on base. There's one out. Why even walk him?
Inside. Threw the ball inside. I don't know. Like, come on. Are we really at a place in baseball where everybody now has so much dignity? I remember when they were intentionally walking Barry Bonds, everybody was like, nah, you got to pitch to the guy. Like, pitch to him. Like, we've been here before. So now they got this stupid automatic walk. You don't even have to throw the four pitches. Like, what are we doing? Now, I can understand. And I get it, Hickey. It's... they're not thinking of the fans, are they? No, they can't. Like, how many people in Nationals Park? These people are showing up to see Aaron Judge. They're not showing up to see this guy walk, right?
Yeah, for the Nationals, yes. You're right about that. Anyone in that building tonight is there for Judge for sure. But if you're the pitcher, if you're the pitching coach of the Nationals, if you're Davey Martinez, a manager, you don't care. You're trying to win a game. And the best chance for you to win a game is making sure this guy's not, with one swing, hitting a home run and driving guys in.
Well, he has been walked. No, one less thing to worry about. Aaron Judge has been walked. And this man is on pace for 63 home runs. He has now hit 12 home runs in the last 21 games. He's hit 19 home runs in his last 36 games. Without a doubt, Aaron Judge is going to walk away with his second American League MVP, and even his own teammates, his own manager, he cannot believe it. Aaron Boone, he was asked about how good Aaron Judge is, and Aaron Boone ran out of words.
Honestly, just running out of words, what he's doing. It's, you know, we're getting on the train. I got to get the thesaurus out and get to work, because it is amazing.
He has to get the thesaurus. There we go. I had to get it out. He has to get the thesaurus to figure out Aaron Judge. The man is batting .333 with 51 home runs and 122 RBIs. He is first in everything except for batting average behind Bobby Witt Jr., which means there's still time for him to potentially win a Triple Crown. Something that we haven't seen since Miguel Cabrera did it for the Tigers. Aaron Judge is amazing. This, it makes no sense. And the guy hit 51, he hit 50, and then he hit 51 yesterday. And I'm like, how is he even able to hit the ball? Why are they pitching to him? And then Aaron Judge spoke after the game, and he says, I'm not trying to hit home runs. It just happens.
I don't think that really helps anybody if I try to go up there and hit homers. You know, I got to this point just trying to be a good hitter and be a good teammate, so that's what I'm going to try to do. And I feel like if I do that, we can look up at the end of the year, and I think the numbers will be where they're supposed to be. So it's kind of out of my control. Just go out there and do my job.
At least the Yankees are having a good time in the clubhouse. And give me tonight. Okay. How could he not? And I get it. He's the biggest human being on the baseball field. He is thinking. Hickey, you don't think he's thinking home run? He's like, hey, I'm going to get a ball. I'm going to square up and hit it as hard as I can. What's so difficult about that?
The reason why I say I don't think he's actually thinking home run is just because, like you said, I mean, he has the power to where he just squares it up. It's mostly going out, so you don't have to kind of put everything into it. But also, and the guy said, like you said, he's the second best average in the AL. Like, he's also not just hitting for power, hitting for average. So this is a guy that's not home run or bust. He is hitting to all fields, taking what the pitcher gives him. Just a great all-around hitter.
Yeah, this is like a Major League Baseball player playing against high school kids. If I make contact, the ball just goes.
Imagine him with a metal bat, by the way, speaking of high school baseball.
Whoa. 700 feet?
Oh, my God.
700
Break
feet.
Break out the tape measure.
Oh, man. 700 feet. I just want to see what he can continue to do because it's I haven't been, you know, even when he hit 62 a couple of seasons ago, like that was fun. But I want to say the enthusiasm to see what Aaron Judge can do. I haven't felt this way. I can't even say Barry Bonds because he was such a jerk. At least there was a positive feeling with Sosa and McGuire. Like that felt positive. And yeah, you know, the guys were on drugs and nobody cared and it wasn't as prevalently thought at that time, but it was just like, wow, baseball is fun again. This is, Hickey, do you think this, and you know what? I answer my own question. When Judge hit the 62 for the American League record, this news, it started to become national news, not just in sports. Like it was starting to get picked up on the Good Morning Americas and the, you know, every place else. It was. Do you remember that?
Oh yeah, like they had like trackers. Like it was a big deal down the stretch of will he get it? When will it happen? It does feel, at least in terms of the chase to, let's say, 62 or to reset his record 63. It does feel a little bit. Maybe the fanfare's just not there yet.
It's early.
It is early. I mean, we are, what, 12 away, right? He's at 50 or 11 away?
Yeah. 51, yeah.
51, crazy.
Wow.
With a month to go, by the way.
This guy's cranking him. Every time he steps up, I want to see a home run. And this is kind of nuts. Aaron Judge, and I don't know if this is a matter of the East Coast, West Coast, whatever it is. Like, Shohei Ohtani is having another great season. The Shohei Ohtani entered into the 40-40 club on Friday. And a lot of the attention has been on Judge and what he does. And it wasn't just entering into the 40-40 club. Shohei Ohtani, the man hit a walk-off grand slam on Friday night against the Rays in Los Angeles. This is one of the best scenes I've seen in a long time. Walk-off grand slam to enter into the 40-40 club. Take a listen to this from Joe Davis at Spectrum Sportsnet.
Center field. Series going back. He's at the track. He's at the wall. 40-40. Walk-off grand slam. No way. What a moment. History.
Oh, man. He's equally as amazing. His career high before we got to this season when it comes to stolen bases. Shohei's been a threat. But his career high before this was 26. And I don't want to say it makes you wonder whether or not, you know, they need to throw him back out on the mound as a pitcher. They're gonna, especially given the financial investment into the guy. You would think that he has this extra oomph because he ain't throwing the ball. Now, how this balances out next year, Hickey, what do you think? He gets 15 starts next year, 15 to 20 starts? They take it real slow with him, don't you think?
Definitely. Yeah, I think they take it very slow. 15 feels fair. That's like about half of what a normal starting pitcher would make. That feels about right.
Yeah, you take your time. I can't even say that the offensive numbers, the stolen bases will likely definitely go down. Could you imagine if he was doing this offensively and what he's doing on the base paths? with like a 2-something ERA and striking out the world? Like, what are we doing? Like, between him and I made a joke. It wasn't really a joke. Could you imagine if him and Judge were on the same team?
That would be, like, you talk about a 2-man team in baseball. It's almost impossible to, like, actually win you games and win championships. That would be, that's a combo right there that they would come damn close to just carrying the team by themselves.
They're video game characters. And so Shohei Ohtani in joining the 40-40 club, he joins Ronald Acuna Jr., Alfonso Soriano, Jose Canseco, Barry Bonds, and Alex Rodriguez. That's it. And Shohei Ohtani, he got into the 40-40 club faster than all of them. He did it in 126 games. It took Alfonso Soriano 147. It took Barry Bonds 158 games. That's almost the entirety of the whole season. Take away 4 games. Ohtani, he realistically might have himself a 50-50 season. Am I pushing him to another 10 stolen bases and 10 home runs? No, I'm not. Damn it, at least with the home runs, he only needs 9 more. And this is the good part about both Ohtani and Judge. These guys don't come across as cheaters. This is just God-given natural ability, and that I appreciate. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I need you to thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. We're going to take a break. When we come back, yeah, it looks like Ohtani and Judge are operating off of God-given ability. We're going to talk about someone who thinks that it is God-given right to run the Dallas Cowboys. I think you know who it is. We'll get into that on the other side. Kelvin Beachum from the Arizona Cardinals is going to join us next hour. Deion Sanders had some interesting words. We have a whole lot more to do.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
Sport Brief show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. Yeah, that was the greatest player in Americans basketball Olympic history. And then Kevin Durant said, nah, I got this. And shout outs to Carmelo, his son. Hickey, his son is like the number one ranked, high school boy in New York State.
Wow, good to see those genes from Carmelo flow down to the next generation.
Did you just make a LeBron joke? Did I miss it?
I actually did not mean to, but now that actually works. That works out.
No. Don't worry about it. I'm just being a jerk. Just being a jerk. Looks like Kyan Anthony. No, did he commit to Syracuse? I can't keep up, man. I don't know. I think his son is going to Syracuse. Why not, right?
Or why not blaze your own path?
And do what?
I don't know. If he's the number one kid in New York State, I could imagine he'll have plenty of offers, not just Syracuse.
Let's see. What does he do? I don't know. He's 6'5".
Okay.
Undeclared. Look at all these schools. He has an offer from Auburn, Florida State, Ohio State, Rutgers, Syracuse, and USC.
Okay.
Now, if I were him, don't go to USC. Bad idea.
they got Eric Musselman now.
No, man. Don't matter. Why do you want to go to the place that left with a little bit of stank? It didn't work out for the last guy. The last guy being Bronny James. Didn't work out for him.
Or do you... they're tight. Right? Obviously, they're very close friends, Carmelo and LeBron.
Right.
But obviously, LeBron is, 10 times more accomplished than Carmelo.
Ouch.
Is this Carmelo's opportunity...
No.
...to have a one-up on LeBron? Hey, what your is, son what went is to son? USC...
No,
look at my son.
No,
he's actually going to save the program here.
No. Is that where we're at in the world right now?
I hope not. That would be a very petty move and using your son for your gain instead of, his college experience. But there are plenty of manipulative parents out there that
they are
trying to get one up on everyone else.
But would that really be something that's unusual? Like, people do this in the real world. Like, competitive? Like, families that grow up around each other and it's just like... Well, my son did this, and my daughter is doing that. But is there a way that you can groom and manipulate, like, to live vicariously through your child? Like, I couldn't do this against you, so I'm going to have my kid beat yours. Like, is that – that's a little much, right? But people do it.
Oh, it's absolutely a little much, and it happens way too often. I think that's why you see in youth sports right now psycho parents
right.
that are fighting umpires, that are getting ejected from games at like a 7-year-old level because they think that even though their kid's on the field, that, oh, this is me on the field. This all has to go perfectly.
But never, never at this level. Never at this level. Now, oh, man. Hickey, could you imagine? And I, it was one thing to think about. And the air has been sucked out of the LeBron playing with his son thing. Like that, I was so hyped for it. And it will still be exciting one day where he throws him a lob. And I don't know. Maybe it'll be in the last game of the season. I have no idea. But with all of the health issues with Bronny James and in playing at USC and that not going well and the draft manipulation, it sucked the air out of the whole justification of, oh, he's actually good. And he might be good, but he has a ways to go. This would be another level. If we got Kyan Anthony and he's busting Bronny's ass in the league, I'd laugh, Hickey. I'd laugh. I'd be laughing.
Carmelo would be laughing, too. I can promise you that.
Carmelo Anthony would be laughing. He'd be sitting right next to LeBron while he does it, too.
That would be both drinking some wine.
Yeah, they will. That's why they walk around with wine. Remember LeBron was out of a game, and did he bring a bottle of wine and sat on a bench and drink it? Isn't that what he did?
Remember into the Cavs game. Lakers, and they left a bottle of wine under the floor.
Okay.
Or under a seat.
Look at me starting terrible rumors. LeBron James drinking on the bench. No, that was a mistake. I didn't mean it. Anyways, now, someone who did admit to drinking at halftime, Ron Artest said he used to go in halftime and drink. Whatever.
I guess whatever it takes to get you loose.
Whatever gets the job done. NBA champion Ron Artest. Meta world peace. Anyway, speaking of getting the job done, Hick, you brought this to my attention earlier today, and we learned that CeeDee Lamb got himself a new contract from the Dallas Cowboys. Jerry Jones spoke with Clarence Hill, longtime reporter for the Star-Telegram out in Texas, and they did this interview for DLLS Cowboys. And Jerry Jones basically told everybody he ain't never quitting. Jerry Jones said he's never leaving. Jerry Jones says he is the guy. He is the most qualified man to lead this team. Now, this is his words, and I'm going to have to bleep a few of them out. Listen, I've done it all, so I have an inordinate amount of confidence that bleep, if anybody can figure out how to get this bleep done, I can figure out how to get it done, Jerry Jones said. I've been there every which way from Sunday. I've busted my ass a bunch, and there's nobody living that's out cutting and shooting that you can't give a bunch of times they busted their ass. I don't know what he's talking about. So hell no, there's nobody that could bleep and come in here and do all the contracts and be a GM any better than I can. Plus, I'm where the buck stops. When it bleeps up, I got to cover it. And so there you can't give anybody enough. Can't give. There's nobody can do it. That's Jerry Jones. He sounds like every other delusional old person who will not take a step back. I hope enough by the time I'm Jerry's age, if I get there, that I know when to just sit my ass down. Now, he is very accomplished. The man is a billionaire. He's taken a small investment and turned it into a football team that is worth $10 billion. Nothing to take away from his business acumen and what he's been able to do and what he's been able to grow. But the football team? They lack success, man. 12-5 ain't cutting it. They can't get over the hump. He's a massive distraction. We can never just look at football. He pushes Tom Landry out. He wins some championships. And then as those years peter on by, he wins nothing. And he says crazy things, wild things. Like from back in July when he described what being all in to win this season means. Whatever the hell this is. Remember this?
I'm all in. I'm all in. Sometimes being all in means you narrow. You remove the months out here that are in the future. And you narrow it down to where all we're talking about is right now in the next playoff season. And that's it for everybody.
Okay. Hickey, translation, help me. What did he say?
Don't talk about contracts. I'm only looking at this year.
Okay, and he said this 3 weeks ago. And we know CeeDee Lamb got his contract done today, but he just said that there was no urgency to get it done. What?
Are you saying there's a sense of urgency as you begin the preseason to get CD done?
No.
No? Why you say that?
I went to high school or I went to college. I don't know why I said it, but I'm just saying I don't know. I don't have a sense of urgency about getting it done.
It's a long-standing tradition.
Pick any reason you want. I said Nobu 2 days ago. Give that as a reason.
Yeah, I don't know anything about nothing. I went to school, though. And no, I'm not going to quit because nobody knows nothing better than me. This man is going to die as the GM of the Dallas Cowboys. Or at least his son helps out. I just hope one day that they win. And good luck. Anyway. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on the Infinity Sports Network. See, it's working out for Jerry Jones. His son is helping him, right? All about fathers and sons. Carmelo and his son, LeBron and his son, Jerry Jones and his son. And you know what? There's another guy with a son. This guy's name is Deion Sanders. What the hell is going on with him? It seems he's kind of upset at the media. We're going to talk about Deion. We're going to hear from Kelvin Beecham from the Cardinals. Don't move. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, the Infinity Sports Network.